You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
All right. Looks like it's doing something on the board. That's always right. A good sign. I always have that like look on my face like, I think I just did it right. All right. Welcome to episode 10 of the Beer Tour Guy show. I'm your host, Steve Johnson, and I am here with two folks today. So you get 2-for-1 deal Woo. On the Beer Tour Guy show today. They brought beer. They're excited, and I'm excited. So, gentlemen, why don't you each introduce yourselves to the, I guess, to the microphone, because I know who you are.
Yeah, go get him, Carson.
Come in. Yeah. Checking in live, this is Carson Morton here with my brother.
Little brother Marlon. I'm here, too.
From Lily Seafood.
Yep.
Lily Seafood and Brewery would be the official name. So in beautiful Royal Oak. Here, I'll give a little background so you don't have to say it. Mostly because when I wrote my book, Detroit Beer History, Brewing in the Motor City, DetroitBeerBook.com, I did a great interview with your dad for that book. So, and it reminded me of all your history. But because I interviewed so many breweries, I have to like go back and look at it sometimes to remind myself.
It's
like,
a pretty big book, Steve.
What did I write? Thanks. I appreciate it. So let's see. So your dad, Scott, and your uncle, Bob Morton, originally started way back in the 80s in Florida, and they opened Ragtime Tavern and
A1A.
I almost said it wrong. A1A Ale Works. And they eventually sold those places in 1996, but they're essentially like the seafood slash brew pub concept, but down in Florida in the 80s, early 90s, when we definitely weren't doing any of that out here.
Yeah. I mean, even there, it was pretty, you know, I mean,
it was an odd concept.
They had seafood, but they did not have like
craft beer. Sure didn't even say the word craft. Like that was, it was micro.
Yeah.
Micro beer,
right?
Yeah, well, there was a Budweiser plant in Jacksonville, though. And that, I think, is what encouraged them. I remember I was just talking to my Uncle Tom about this.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And they would get in, like, so they would just get in, like, they would try out Harp or something like that. They'd get in some Irish beers or some English beers and bring them in and see what people thought of them. And then people would stop buying the light beers that were like typical of the time and start buying these Harps or whatever else were the other beers they got in. Eventually like Goose Island and stuff like that. And the Budweiser brewers would come in and like try all those beers. So then they figured, you know, we're spending all this money buying like imported beers that people
Why don't
are buying.
We make our own?
Let's
we
try make it, our own. You know, and that's what happened.
Figure out the cost, figure out how much it is to get the ingredients and even the equipment to brew it. And then I'm sure at that point it was a better bang for the buck just to buy it all. And then after a couple of years of brewing it, you're making your money back and spending way less than you would be just buying other people's
beer.
And
they were first in the area, like no doubt about it.
And it was that, you know, restaurant making beer model that we had in the early years that you guys still follow today, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
So they eventually sell those to what is Craftworks Restaurant and Brewery Incorporated, which is the big parent company that owns Rock Bottom, owns Gordon, was it Birsch? I think it's Birsch. I'm not saying
Birsch.
Right.
Birsch. I love all pronunciations of that word. Yeah. This is so fun.
You guys ever been to one of those?
No.
No? Or what else would I say? Rock Bottom, Gordon, Birsch, and a few other brands in there. So, Old Chicago, that chain. That's the same company. I went and re-looked it up because I'm like, where are all the
amazing.
Companies? That Isn't that crazy when you think about it?
Well, and I never really associate any of those restaurants with it. I know they got bought, and I know it got bought by a corporation, but I thought it was still like, it's funny
smaller.
How something.
Yeah, you thought it was smaller.
Yeah.
I remember.
And maybe they called it smaller, but it was like a sector of this like giant company. I'm like, really?
Yeah. Wow.
But I think at the time when they did it, that wasn't a giant company, and you didn't have like Rock Bottom and Old Chicago weren't the chains that they are now.
Yeah,
not at that point. Yeah. That happened kind of later on. I want to say like this company bought another company later on, like maybe in the early 2000s.
There was definitely some mergers happening.
Yeah.
I even remember just from looking at the coasters of the restaurant when they did sell it, and then they all merged A1A, Ragtime, Seven Bridges, a couple other. There's about 7 different restaurants on the coasters, and then a couple of years ago we went back down to Ragtime. Their coasters got a whole lot more filled up with a bunch more restaurants.
Yeah. And they're all still functioning today, which is all – that's got to feel good to know that, doesn't it?
Yes.
Some of them have the same exact recipes or same beers. Like they still sell our A-Strain Stout that we brew down the street.
Oh, that's wild.
In St. Augustine, Florida. Yeah.
Okay.
I remember we saw this there was a couple that we regularly see at Lily's. I won't be able to remember their names right now, but they were sitting there, and you could tell he wanted to see what he wanted you to see what was on his shirt, because he would face you as you're walking by. So finally, I'm like, "All right, what?" And he's wearing an A Strange Stout shirt, and I was like, "Okay, it doesn't seem that weird." But then I was like, "Yeah, wait, we don't make T-shirts that say that on there, you know? So how did this dude from Michigan get that shirt?" And I was like, "All right, I'm gonna be the guy to ask you where you got your shirt.
What are you doing with that?"
And he just said he was down at they had no idea. They went to some restaurant in St. Augustine and they saw A Strange Stout, and they were like, "What the hell?
What are you doing with that down here in this restaurant?"
Yeah.
And they're like, we brew this here." And they're saying, no, they brew, we brew it in Royal Oak at Lily Seafood.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they had that.
So they figured it out. They were like, "Oh my God, they brew the same beer down there that you guys brew up here." I'm like, "Well, that's my dad. My dad used to brew there, you know?" Like,
well, so this great background story of Florida, and then your parents eventually move back here. So does your uncle and your aunt. And then eventually in 1999, the love child of Lily Seafood and Brewery is opened, right? Yeah. So I remember your dad saying that, because a lot of people, for all the years I've been bringing in folks into your brewery on walking tours and other tours, it's always like for years I'd always have to explain, they make beer.
Uh-huh.
They're like, "I don't get it." I go by, there's a sign, it says Lily Seafood. The real name, Lily Seafood and Brewery, isn't what's on the sign outside.
Yeah.
So people don't, you must hear this so much. When people come in, like, they didn't know.
All the time. As a server of the restaurant, people will, you know, "What would you like something to drink?" "Miller Lite or Bud Light or a Labatt." I'm like, no.
Nope.
We don't do that here, sir. We are a brewery. "Oh, you're a brewery. We had no idea." Yeah, we have a tiny little blue neon sign in the front window.
Right underneath the beautiful hand-painted seafood sign, there's a little tiny, like, open sign that says brewery.
Smaller than the open sign is the brewery sign.
But it kind of fits, like, to size, because even people who had been going to the restaurant for years, like since it opened, like, and they would come back into town after they moved somewhere for however many years and started family, and they were like, "So when did you guys open the brewery?" I was like, "The brewery has been here since like day one."
Since
like
day one.
Literally, that was part of the plan the entire time.
I always like to say that to people. I'm like, "Well, you've been there, right?" "Oh yeah, I've been in there and had dinner before." I'm like, "Did you go to the bathroom?
Ever go to the bathroom?"
And I'm like, "Because when you go to the bathroom, you walk right by.
What are those big metal things?
Those big metal tanks, you know?" Like,
so, man, but some people have no idea.
That's where they keep their fish.
Well, one time this person, I was in there brewing, and she was like, "Are you guys making cheese in here?" I was like, "Cheese."
That sounds cool.
I would love to. I would love to, but like, I'm like, of all the things, there's like the huge craft brewery movement. Is there, I guess there is like a lot of cheese going around right now. People do love cheese.
Well, you know where I was last week? I was in Vermont.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I was in Burlington, Vermont. They got both.
Oof.
So that was my first time, I guess, as an adult. I probably can't remember as a kid. And I was there. This is kind of fun. I was there for a, get this, beer marketing tourism conference.
Oh, man.
So it was like, you guys know the Brewers Guild does their winter conference.
Yeah.
And they have like sessions, you know, about the beer industry. Well, that was this, but for beer tour operators.
On a tourism
dude,
level.
All on a tourism
awesome.
Level. So and I went with a friend. I went with the I'm a Beer Hound Paul Star guy, and we were roomies and all that good stuff. And I didn't know what to think of it. You know, I just thought, you know, they also have like a wine tourism conference and whatever. And so I get there and we have a pre-session and it was like for beer tour operators. I get in a room and there's 40 people just like me that all run beer tour companies across the country.
Wow.
So like the energy in the room was like a bit overwhelming.
Yeah, everyone's like, what?
Everyone's like excited.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, no,
so you can walk
so
around
cool.
the room and do these intros and everyone was just all into it. You know?
Yeah.
And, but none of that has to do with cheese. And so I'm there and the first lunch we did was, you know, Cabot Cheese Company. That's a big cheese company in Vermont.
Is it Cabot?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I think I'm saying it right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they did a cheese beer pairing at the first lunch we had tied to it, which was super cool.
Wow.
So they had a guy from Cabot get up there and he was nice, you know, but here you're in a room of people who just want to like eat cheese and drink.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of listening, you know, you try not to be rude in that scenario.
He was giving a big cheese.
He was giving a big cheese talk, you know, with it. And you're just like, all right, cheese, cool. You know, and you're just
back over to the board, right?
You know, you got beer at the table, you got cheese, you pretty much got what you need.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You do not need to explain any more to me.
Yeah. No, like we're cool. I understand the concept. You know? He's getting like real deep into it. Now we got this new product and it's pre-sliced cheese in those like long containers. Like, that's cool. That
is it cheese?
Let me just try it out.
I get to to have as much as I want. Great. Yeah, that's right. Great. Yeah, so there's definitely a cheese theme going on while we're in Vermont. God, and, you know, amazing. I've seen lots of other cheese and beer pairings before. You ever get a chance to do that, that's a lot of fun.
Did you hit any breweries while you were out there?
Oh, so we came in a day early. So the conference was really like Tuesday, Wednesday, fly out Thursday. So Paul and I came in. We were there by noon on Monday. And we – so there's like a shuttle from the airport to get to the DoubleTree Hotel. We're staying at free shuttle. So we call that shuttle. As I'm walking up to wait for the shuttle, Paul and I, some other dude who clearly looked like a brewer, although he was ended up being a beer tour operator, right? He just looked like all of us.
He had the beard?
Right? Yes. He looked like – not like me, but he looked like, you know, he worked at Dark Horse or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, dude. We just start talking to him. Turns out, like, he's part of City Brew Tours, which is in, like, six markets. I totally knew what the company was.
Wow.
And he came in early to do the same thing we were, right? So we get to the hotel, and we're just like, hey, man, we're going to go out and hit some breweries. You want to join us? He's like, yeah, totally. So what I didn't realize was his company also worked in Burlington, so he knew where everything was.
Oh, man. So you're getting a beer tour guy.
So flip that around. We just got a beer tour guide the second we walked into Burlington, right?
That's how you do it.
And then we went from like 1 p.m. till, I'm telling you, like 10.
Oh, my God.
I know.
You couldn't plan that better.
I know.
That's perfect.
And we hit a whole bunch of cool breweries and like beer bars, just stuff I wouldn't have totally found in my
own. Does anything stick out? Because the reason I'm asking is because I'm going with my girlfriend in the end of June for a wedding. And I told her, I was like, well, we're going to some breweries while we're there.
Where in Vermont do you think the wedding's at?
Oh, man, it's kind of like at a sort of a... The wedding is a little bit hippie-ish. It's kind of like off and people are glamping.
That's
and
the whole state of Vermont, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, it only made sense. I think it's like – it's yeah, it's got like a lake and everyone's going to be camping around it and stuff like that. It's like that.
That's not helping me at all.
So I don't know. I have no idea.
That kind of area of Vermont.
Oh, that area of Vermont.
I have no idea.
Yeah, offline, I'll give you some other suggestions. I could tell you what I saw in Burlington, though, that was fun.
So you were strictly in Burlington.
Yeah, so the conference was in Burlington, and then we did a side trip at night out to Stowe, which would have been about 45 minutes away, and that was a resorty, like, ski hill, bike trail kind of town. No, I'm good, thank you. And so what's my point? Okay, so in Burlington, we went to at least a half dozen breweries.
Yeah.
We went to a really cool place called Foam Brewers. That would be where I would suggest. That seemed like they were doing real experimental stuff. Wasn't too big. They didn't have a food program.
Yeah.
So it's just a place to go drink.
Beer.
Yeah. And that's where we started.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else? And then when we went out to Stowe, we did so they chartered a bus, and for this super low price, like for $30, including the bus transportation, which should have been $30 anyhow, they took us out to Stowe to the Von Trapp Brewing Company. You know who the Von Trapp family is?
You ever heard
of The Sound of Music?
Yeah. Ooh.
You know the family in The Sound of Music?
No way.
That's
going to say.
The Von Trapp family.
It sounds familiar, but.
So after that movie finished, no, I don't know. But eventually that family settled back in Stowe, Vermont, and they built this super huge lodge that's been there since, I don't remember, I think they said they celebrated 50 years, so that would have made it in the 60s.
It was actually that family. It wasn't a coincidental.
It's the real family, right?
No shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
The beers are alive with the sound of drinking.
No doubt.
Oh, my God.
So they set it up. So 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, they opened up a brewery, a huge beer hall, okay? And it just looks like an awesome lodge. And I didn't know what to think of it. So they bus us there, 50 people on this bus. We're all excited, right? They take us in kind of the back door into the production facility. The production facility was huge. 100 barrel and 200 barrel fermenters.
Where are they at? I want to see this Von Trapp brew over here in the Midwest.
Stowe, Vermont. So you got to check that out. And it's all like, you know, Austrian, German inspired, pretty, I don't want to say basic beer because that makes it sound like it's not good.
Yeah.
All of it was really clean Austrian, German style beers. Plus they had food stations everywhere.
Wow.
So for the small price of $30, including the transportation,
wow,
we got unlimited food and beer and our free reign of the whole production brewery area.
Yeah, that sounds
all the owners,
amazing.
The brewers, they're all hanging out with us. It was super cool. And then you go into the gift shop and they got all this like super cool Von Trapp stuff and
Billy
goats everywhere and whatever else you got.
So that's the one I'm going to hold on to. I'm just going to pray we're going
there. Like in the summer, it looks like that place would be awesome. Like it was winter and it was snowing like a mother when we were out there.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty interesting.
But those guys, they have like that big of a system. Do they like they're canning and bottling and are
yeah,
they,
exactly. Look like only, bottling and some canning.
They like only in the East Coast then?
For now. Okay. He made it sound like they're gonna come to Michigan. I'm like, really? Oh my God, you know, not that I didn't like the beer, but I'm like, keep it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I want to just go out there and
yeah,
try
yeah.
That
we got
stuff,
too much
you know
stuff
I mean?
Going on.
Yeah,
here
that's what I always say. Right. You know, I didn't want to be rude to the guy. Like he was just being cool.
Yeah.
But
no this, need.
Yeah, that's kind of my feeling about a lot of brands that are coming into Michigan now. Don't you guys think that way? Like, there's so many brands that's already here in Michigan that are great.
So
yeah.
good. With
maybe
all
maybe some Midwest stuff. I can live with that.
Mm-hmm.
But
honestly, that's kind of yeah. That should be how it is. You want to drink that beer from that region? Go to that,
go
region.
To that region.
Go to the region. Yeah.
Yeah. You
whenever
take
you go
Chicago
to...
and Wisconsin yeah. And, yeah. and Detroit and.
That's how, like even how I plan most of my vacations. Wherever I'm at, I just type into maps breweries around me. So yeah. even in Michigan, though, if you go to a liquor store, I'm not looking at any other beers unless they're brewed in Michigan. If I'm out on vacation out west,
yeah.
I'm looking for the beers that are brewed in that state. How do y'all brew it over here?
Yeah,
yeah, I really feel that way too. Yeah. I felt like that way for a long time.
I think you should. I mean, I'd be excited if I saw if I saw something that I really like. Say it was easier to get. A heady topper.
Yeah.
Anywhere but there. But yeah. even in that town, it's hard to get a fucking
it was.
Heady topper.
I only had one, and it was $10.
Man, I'm telling you.
And I was just like, okay, one is all I'm having. That was good.
Mm-hmm. So I hear this story.
Oh, that brewery, by the way, is also in Stowe.
Alchemist is?
That's the
yeah.
city.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, now we didn't get to do that.
okay.
So. I would have. That would have been kind of the icing on this whole thing. If I could have made that happen.
They seem so exclusive. They're like. So my girlfriend's parents were out there. They were just traveling along, and while they were out there, my girlfriend texted him and was like, "You know, you should get Heady Topper while you're out there. It's the best beer I've ever had." This was years ago, and little did they know the process that they were about to go through to get that. So she finds out where they can get it. They're like, she's like, go to this liquor store. They release it on Wednesday, every Wednesday.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was. So they go to the liquor store thinking like, oh, we'll just walk in there and buy it and we can keep doing what we're doing. We'll bring this back to Catherine when we're done with our freaking vacation. But no, they wait in there's a giant line out of the liquor store. They wait in the whole line into the liquor store.
Insane.
And then you can only buy a certain amount. Like she, because at that point, Mr. Caruso is a competitive dude. He's like, I'm buying as much of this as I possibly can. I'm going to make my daughter so happy, you know? And you can only buy like a case, I think, tops.
Yeah.
And but she did. She got one and she brought it over to the Drayton house and I got to try it. It was the only time I've ever tried it. And it really is great. But
I tried it in the airport, just to be clear.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that makes
sense. That's good.
That's why I was also $10.
That'll be the only time.
I was going to say, that's really not bad. $10 in an airport.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Plus, I got stuck in the airport because of the snow, and my flight went out like 3.5 hours later.
You earned it.
For a heady topper in the airport, $10.
Yeah.
Call it good.
I got free chips because the flight was delayed, so
yeah.
I had
Hell
a heady
yeah.
topper and a bag of free chips. It's not so shabby.
We're good.
There you go, because the right. chips would have been $5.
Oh, yeah, totally. So like, I got a deal. It's like the value plan.
Solid lunch, baby.
Right? So there were definitely people that cut out of this conference on Wednesday, which was like a main day of the conference. So that they could go out there. I don't think the conference people were happy that some people did that, but I'm like, come on, man. These people are here and we're in the industry. Like,
yeah.
whatever.
Can you blame them?
Yeah.
I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't blame them. Now, I wish I could have done it.
Yeah.
But I think it was people who had multiple people from the company were hanging and said sent one of them to do it.
Multiple representatives.
Yeah, you got to do it, right?
Yeah. Well, if you need some representatives, the next one,
if
you call
need
us.
A guy to come out and get the heady topper back.
Yes.
All right, boys, go get it.
I'll sacrifice
Bring it back.
Myself at the conference. That sounds cool. You guys go get the heady toppers. We'll be drinking like kings.
We totally got on a different track than I was going to go on, but that doesn't matter because that's the whole power of doing this. So, okay, so let's get it to where you guys started kind of coming into the business here. You grew up in the business.
Yeah.
Basically, like diapers, and then like you can walk, and then now you're like in a restaurant.
And that was
basically,
it. That
right?
Was
Is that how it works? I would think that's how it
diapers,
works.
Diapers, yeah. walking, and then we could ride our bike and bartend.
And bartend, yeah.
That's how we got it.
Is that how it works?
You got to ride your bike before you can serve those beers.
Yeah, like that's why your parents had kids, so that you could eventually be inserted in there
oh,
and
yeah.
have cheap
I did.
Labor.
I always
right?
wondered why my mom wanted to have 4 kids. She wanted to have more than that, and
she
then I realized.
Six.
I always forget that there's four because I only ever see you guys and I never see anyone else. So, okay, who's the who, – remind me your
– All right, so the oldest is Maddie. She had bar-backed at
You know,
Lewis
I think I've met her before.
You've definitely met her.
She was
I think I've seen her with your mom a couple times
mm-hmm.
and I just – maybe I just never put it together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's been in the business and then I bar – was a restaurant assistant, like a busboy, all throughout high school, went off to East Lansing and then came back and just started serving bartending.
That was like the tradition. You invented the restaurant assistant position. He was the very first restaurant assistant.
That does sound kind of made
quality.
Up.
Glorified
busboy.
We're
not just bussing tables. We're filling ice.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're making coffee.
Yeah.
Rolling silverware, baby.
Hey.
Assisting.
That's not easy to do, to assisting roll a nice
it was actually it was a really good gig because you got paid what you'd get paid without making tips, you know, for serving or whatever. So that's you got paid full strength, but you got tipped out by the bartenders and the servers too. So
as long as you're working.
You got tipped and you got paid full.
That's right.
But sorry, keep going.
As long as you're working. Yeah. And then I mean, dad was brewing the entire time. And then he just kind of got, you know, a little tired of. He's got a lot of stuff to do in the restaurant as well, besides brewing.
But basically what happened too is I had I finished OCC. I just did two years, got my associate's degree. And all the time we'd be on vacation or whatever with our folks, Dad would always be like, well, you know, one day, after she's had a couple beers and we're bonding over beer, he'd be like, one day somebody's got to take over, you know, and learn how to brew beer because we got to pass it on. And I was like, well, I work in freaking grocery stores. I'm wrapping like pea pods and putting out.
You wrap the pea pods, you know?
Sorting zucchini.
I'm like, what? I will take. I'm ready. Let's go. And
let's do it.
He was very hesitant too because my dad is like the secret puppeteer of that restaurant. He does.
Clearly. I figured that out right away.
Yeah. You can just tell he's everywhere. I mean, he does everything that happens in the kitchen, everything that happens, you know, with the beer or, you know.
It was part of what I don't want to sound weird attracted me to working with your dad and just bringing people into the brewery was that I saw that right away.
Yeah,
and it was something that I'm like, oh, this is special. Like, I like this.
And
this
he loves doing that too. He's all about it, answering and questions about that.
He was like that the first time I met him. I can't remember when that was now.
Yeah,
but I remember I never had an issue when I first came in. It was just like, yep, let's do this.
Yeah,
and that's how he was. He had that get up and go kind of attitude.
Yeah, he really is the real deal. It's a lot to try and live up to when you go to take over the brewery.
I'll bet it would be.
It was all of those regulars are like, who the hell is this guy?
What are you guys about?
Tastes a little
what are you
different.
Gonna do? This isn't the same thing.
Your dad brewed it better.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the case anymore, though, because, I mean, learning from
I don't feel that way, but, you know, I'm not on the bar stool every night like maybe a regular might.
Yeah.
I spent plenty of time.
I've never heard it from a regular. They've never said that to me.
Okay.
I can tell you, from talking to regulars on a regular basis in the restaurant, if anything, they like it as much, if not better. They say this is some of the best beer I've ever had.
Okay.
This is better than the last
batch.
Let's
put it this way. I mean, like, Dad made this great beer for that many years whilst maintaining a full kitchen.
Right? Think about that. You know? I think, you know, when you look at most modern day, not brew pubs, just breweries that have no kitchen.
Yeah.
And think, you know, most of those people, they can maybe just brew.
Yeah.
And they can't really do anything else. Sorry. Trust me, I have to deal with brewery owners all the time.
Yeah.
And I know, like, the ones that, if they have someone who handles, I don't know, marketing for them or other operation stuff for them, I'm always excited because I know I'm going to get more timely responses because if they're brewing and doing all that stuff, it's super, super difficult.
Yeah. So a percentage of his brain is brewery and then some of it's going over to desserts and soups.
Yeah, he's got
to
like cut up
numbers.
Right.
And
I mean, he still is a machine. Like, he was a madman about getting everything. And he was still making great beer. But so it was like, for him, it was like he was hesitant to let somebody else take it over
because
he was also super anal. But yeah, and it was one less thing, and eventually he got super excited about it. And I was very serious about it too when I started. Like, I remember like laying in bed in the morning before I'd go in to brew with Dad. I'd wake up an hour early and try and write down the entire process, made sure I could get through. I took it like super seriously, and because it was, you know, his dad, and I didn't want him to think I was like a joke about it, where I'm just like, oh, I want to brew beer and drink beer all day.
I'll drop one more thing, just because the youngest sibling was in me, and she's going to be taking care of all of us when our livers fail. The four siblings had to knock it out.
That's the four. Yeah, she's the fourth sibling. Sorry, we can't ignore her.
Heck no, she's going
to
be
because she's going to listen to this later and go, you never said my name.
Well, shout out to the youngest and the smartest of all the Mortons, Emmy Morton. But
yeah, she's having her white coat graduation, by the way, in May. So she is full on. She's made it through, I think, like 8 years or
getting or about to be. Yeah,
about to be 8 years of school or something.
Physician's assistant.
8 years she of comes, school. Yeah. That's crazy to me.
She's a machine. Yeah. She. So she had the
She's dad's daughter. I mean, she acts just like
she had the determination. She had that. That
where
part
was she going to school? Is going to school?
She did Central. Did her four years there. Got her
bachelor's,
mm-hmm. and then did her.
We call it bachelor's.
Eastern Michigan University. She went there for her.
For her. What do you
to get
that?
Her, I call it her
graduate,
graduate or certificate in physician's assistant.
See, I didn't associate.
I don't know either. That sounds right to me, though. That makes sense. I'm a business guy.
We're
I'd be
beer
like,
people.
It's not an MBA. I don't know.
I'm
you know what to tell you.
We just make beer. I don't know about school.
But no, I mean, she got a lot of the hard work and genes from dad. And honestly, I give credit to Marlon for. I had the easy job of learning how to brew beer through Marlon. Marlon had to learn the hard way with every little last detail that dad was spitting out to
so
him.
So you start with your dad, Marlon, and then but you were also doing some time at Brew Detroit, correct?
Eventually. So what was happening
but
is
that
I,
wasn't at first, was it?
At first it was just like got hired in at Lily's with dad, and he was, you know, training me forever. And but
born in at Lily's with dad, you say hired in. Like, yeah. Was there an interview process?
We were bred to do this.
You were bred to, right? You both were bred to.
I think the whole training process was an interview process. He's like, God, can this hippie really do this? I'm not sure if he can do it. But
I took it
super seriously with him, and then you know, it wasn't before long that it was very easy because I could come in, mash in by myself and stuff like that. And if something was going wrong, I'd just walk like 5 feet away into the kitchen and go, Dad.
What happened?
I broke something.
I
broke something.
So it made training kind of easy for him and kind of easy for me. And and then it just made the development process over 3 years pretty easy because I could always text or call or walk into the kitchen and ask dad.
Yeah, having
about
the guidance,
and,
guidance right at your fingertips was very helpful.
Yeah.
And master brewer is right in the kitchen.
Because really, those whole first couple of years are really getting the mechanics down, thinking on your feet and stuff like that. And
then you can start
worrying about
chemistry
and
recipe. And.
So a good example is this Doppelbach that you brought today. That's a really clean, you said just under 7%.
Yeah, 6.7.
Yeah, 6.7. And that's a good example. So that's your baby right there.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's a new one. We've never done it. And I've been trying to do that a couple times at Lily's, you know, like we did. I've been just trying to kind of build the repertoire for the future because there's going to be a day where maybe I do want to start canning or bottling our own beers and stuff like that. So this is a perfect opportunity. Where we have a pretty loyal group of regulars, and they're pretty broad in size, shape, and opinion, you know. So you get a pretty good feel for what the general public at Lily's likes the best. And
yes,
you know, we've had a couple that have been like my first time doing an India Pale Lager. We did that, or a dry hopped lager, or.
I like the IPL.
I loved it. Yeah. I
thought that was real drinkable.
One of the greatest things about that, about you bringing these beers that they haven't tried before at Lily's Seafood. Maybe they've tried it other places, like an East Coast IPA or something like that. They're blown away by it. I mean, serving in the restaurant and talking to the regulars on a daily basis, they let me know everything about the beer and the product that they're consuming. And I have not heard anything bad about it.
Yeah.
If anything, they like the newer stuff. They love the IPL.
Yeah.
They love the East Coaster. The Lily's Light right now, which is...
Well, this is what's funny too, though, is I had the fortune...
Is that recipe different? Sorry, I mean...
Yeah. I couldn't find a Lily's Light recipe, so...
Oh, okay. I guess I didn't think about that. Mm-hmm. I just ordered it. I've ordered it a couple times now, and I liked it. I just instantly started drinking it, thinking, have I had this before? And sometimes it doesn't process in my brain that I haven't.
There was a recipe at one point or another. Dad did brew a light beer that he called the Lily's Light. Maybe it was the predecessor to the Pilsner. I'm not even sure.
I think it kind of was. I don't know for sure, but I think the biggest difference was, with the customers at least, is about a year ago we got all those new taps put in.
Sure.
So now all of a sudden.
So you moved from what, an 8? You had 8, right?
We had
I think it was 6 at first. It was the 5 flagship beers and the root beer. Or what? Or
oh, there was.
Is
there
that
was
how
two,
it started
two specialties.
In 99?
When I started, there was 5.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And two specialties that could change year round.
Okay.
When so that's what I was dealing with when I
oh,
started.
Oh, okay. And then a root beer on another draft.
That's
that
what it
is. That's what it is.
It started with the 5 beers because we were doing root beer and cream soda.
Yeah.
Those were those other 2 taps.
Okay.
That's what it was.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then. And then last year we got
the
so
whole
now
new,
it's a total
whole
of 12.
New draft system.
Yeah, now
so your dad was so excited. I remember he took me down into the basement and he had like the whole, pretty much all the equipment was just sitting down there.
Yeah, yeah.
He might as well have been like a 5-year-old that just bought like a new toy.
Oh, he was.
He's a candy right? candy store.
He was.
To all those
it was
parts,
pretty.
Honestly.
It was fun for me. I got excited. Right. I'm like, I can't wait to come in here and jerk off all this new draft line. Right.
Well, that is really that's really changed the game since we got that beyond tap, because now there's so much.
There's variety. You can do a lot more.
A lot more. And people that were so, you know, set on just the five house brews, you know, the Pilsner, the Red, the Stout, the IPA, and the Wheat, that's all they've been drinking the entire time. Now they have this other selection to go to. They're starting to like the other selections a little bit more than what they're normally
used. So now that's probably
to.
Playing a little bit with you're not maybe burning through some of the standards like you used to because people are rotating, which is not a bad problem. It's just not, things I mean, you work through, right?
Yeah. Well, what's great is you realize like what's working right
now. Yeah, totally.
And for instance, like obviously New England IPAs are what is working everywhere in the whole damn country. But so I put that one on for our 1,000th batch. We just got to our 1,000th batch, whatever that was, a couple months ago. And I know
yeah,
when
I was
first
in.
Put it on.
I was excited. I had like a week where I was in three times in a week because I had friends coming into town.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys are looking at me like, what are you doing? I don't see you in there as much. You turn into a regular.
Oh, no.
No, it was great. We did bring a little howler of the...
Yeah.
I know. I'm excited to drink some of that.
But watching that one go has been like, all right, so our IPA, I think with most breweries, their IPA is going to be the number one seller because people, when in doubt, are like... I'll do the IPA.
Yeah, that's where a huge percentage of the market is at this point. I see it, you know, being a beer tour operator, I'm constantly bringing people into places. And I always have to have that as one of the beers they're sampling at that brewery.
Yes.
Because people are going to kind of judge the brewery a bit off of that. And there's a lot of breweries that never really did IPAs to any big degree. Motor City Brewworks is a good example of that. They never used to have an IPA.
Yeah.
And now I'm sure it's a huge seller for them.
Yeah,
now,
one of those standards. Yeah.
Yeah. Now they got their, Dank and Hazy. That's their Northeast IPA.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun.
See, you know everybody's doing it. Something like I was like, let's try it. And it sure should. I think just if you put the name on it and it's, I mean, ours is a little less hazy, but it's got that juicy, pop to it. And flavors. That's just what people are wanting so bad right now.
Yeah, it's that different flavor profile.
Yeah.
It's almost like tangerine
less bitter,
juice.
Super
like
juicy.
Tangerine, orangey, just really citrusy goodness. It tastes healthy.
It's a good sign of the times, though, and by you guys upgrading the draft lines in the way you did, it's put you back in place with a lot of other breweries that would open up now and automatically have that many on draft. You know what I mean?
I know, yeah.
Like when you started in 1999, when your parents started that wasn't what you did.
Mm-mm.
It was the, the gold, the red, the dark, the brown, maybe a pale.
You could literally put it by colors. You gotta
have
the five different colors.
When I was in college in the 90s, undergrad in the 90s at Western, that's how everything worked. You know, when you went to a brewery, that's basically what you did. You'd go in, you'd have a sampler tray. We didn't call it a flight then.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, a sampler tray would have been like $4 for eight different samples or something crazy. Like pricing was way different.
Yes.
I always feel like I'm an old fogey when I say it like that, right?
Yeah.
I would go in and they'd give me like a eight beer sampler, everything would be a 6 ounce pour, know, and I'd drink it all, and it cost
like,
me,
crazy
$4. Nothing, right?
Crazy old Steve.
Yeah,
talking
no
about
doubt,
the past.
I know. I did a blog post on it last year about how so many breweries are like ripping you off with sampler trays. I said it in like way probably nicer than that, but I had a point,
I agree with that point.
And it was a big big trial thing when I go into a brewery to do that. Mm-hmm. And that was exciting for me. And then I would buy something else. And then that would be fun for me. And I didn't feel like I was getting taken for.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, and I'm not naming places. It doesn't matter. I'm just saying most breweries have woken up to the fact that people do like to do that. So they've made that a big profit center as opposed to being a way to sample and actually trial stuff.
Beers.
Yeah. A lot of breweries don't view it like that.
They
now
view it as a money maker.
Yeah, they do to where it's like $2.50, $3 a sample. And I'm like, ooh, that's a lot.
I know. Before, like you said, you didn't feel like you were being taken for by, charging that much, charging pretty cheap for a sample. They were trying to buy you. They were trying to.
You got
like,
it, right? They wanted to win me over, get me excited about it. And now that's like almost taken for granted because I walked in there.
Yeah.
So I don't do that much anymore. I see my customers do it, and in the way I run tours, I serve stuff that way. But like in the case of how you guys do it for me, we do stuff in pitchers.
Yeah.
And that works awesome. I don't go, if I had to take 30 people every time. Let's say I had 30 people on a tour and I was coming in and I wanted to order 30 sampler trays when I walked in. The servers would kill me.
They
I would never get invited back. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They'd be like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. One, your mom would never talk to me again, right?
Dude, she would act like I wouldn't like
that.
You.
Yeah. She wouldn't want, she wouldn't want anything to do with that statement, right? As she should. She's right.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I kind of came to this pitcher way of how I'd serve people stuff.
Yeah.
Or hopefully all breweries do that.
And the price equates, you know, it's the same amount of beer.
It works better.
For the same. I love, one of the many things I like about Lily's and other breweries that have that model of maybe starting smaller on like, you know, five tap system and then growing the more people drink your beer is you're still focused on the, you're focused more on the beer than the profit, you know?
Sure.
Lily's amongst other breweries, I think is more focused on the quality of the beer than the money we're going to make from it. And I love the prices of Lily's even too. I mean, $5 through and through the happy hour is.
Well, you guys have the, I think you probably have the best, pint price in town now.
There's no doubt about
it. I'm pretty sure that,
I can't even, like, every place that I go to, even if they just open up, if they didn't just open up, I'm like, oh, my God. And we have one solid price.
Yeah.
There's not $6 for this or $7 for this. It's $5 for everything except for the honey.
Except for the honey. Well, that's
– wow. Honey's expensive.
that's why, yeah.
Yeah. No, but, I mean, the Monday through Friday – 2 to 6. I'm throwing the pitch out there. Monday through Friday, 2 to 6, 350 pints. It's
awesome.
It's incredible. Or you buy the Mug Club for life for $75. You get 350 every time you come in, and it's an 18-ounce pour.
Yeah.
And you get a – do you still do the shirt and growler?
Still do the shirt and growler.
Growler fill. So when I did it, I'll just give you like an old school of when I got your Lifetime Mug Club. It was the first year Arts, Beats, and Eats came to Royal Oak, and you guys were doing a special. And it was $20 or $25.
$25. I was going to say, I bet it was in the $25 days.
It was pretty awesome. When I tell people that, they're like, what do you mean you got it for them? I'm like, yeah, and I got a shirt and a growler.
And it's for life.
I mean, that goes to show you, like, because you go in, I've seen some other places that I'm like, this is $350.
Yeah. And, that, you know, that's a huge, like, you're basically saying, you know, I have to basically choose you right now for life.
Yeah.
And that's hard, man. I don't.
Especially if you're new and you don't know what's going to happen.
I don't know if it'll be good. I don't know if they'll be around in 5 years. Yeah. You know? So, like, when you have a number like that, like, that's a long return.
It's dedication.
I get it, too. It's like, it's hard. You just open up a place and stuff like that.
Yeah, they don't have the money, you know.
Right. But you kind of got to work your way to earning that loyalty of having people to come there because they want
I it. Think that way. I mean, being a small business owner, I get that, right? Like, I'm trying to give my customers more all the time.
Yeah.
So that they come back and they tell their friends, and then that's how you sustain business. And, like, you guys, since you've been around since 1999, you obviously already get that. And now you guys have started at, I don't want to say the bottom because that sounds bad.
But
like, you started right down there. You're bussing tables, you're serving, now you're making beer. You guys are doing a little bit of everything. You're seeing that at all levels. That is so important.
Yeah.
That it's a good example of, like, your parents raised you that way.
Yeah.
To, like, you didn't come in and say, well, I just want to manage now.
No, no.
You know?
And I don't think either of us would want to either.
No.
I mean, I think we both like being just a part of the team. Like, we like going out with the servers and the bartenders, and, like, they're our best friends. You
really?
Know?
Like, it's.
Yeah, if you become like managers, that's a little different.
Yeah, yeah. We just like being a part
of
the crew.
Even though I'd be the coolest.
You think you'd be the coolest manager?
Probably because I let a lot of stuff slide. But it's nice just being a part of the restaurant, just a different facet. You could be in the kitchen. You could be the brewer like Marlon is. You could be waiting tables and bartending. But either way, it's nice to have members of the family and people who you know care about the well-being of the restaurant in positions where a lot of people
get excited
not.
About that too.
And your staff. That. So, I mean, you have staff that's been there a long time.
Yes. Yeah. We got some awesome people. That
I know. Some of them
time.
Are like, some of them are like, yeah, don't say that. I've known you since you were 12.
Yeah. I'll bet.
Okay. All right.
Now we're drinking together. You were making fun of me because my voice was cracking when I hit puberty.
Look at me now. Right?
Yeah. Look at me.
So, okay. So, you guys are in a band.
And we're in a band.
Let's talk about that.
Beer and music just go hand in hand.
It totally goes hand in hand.
It does. Too well. We're actually doing it today. We're having beers with Steve and doing a little podcast in the morning, and then I'm playing tonight in
Lake Orion.
Lake Orion.
20 Front Street.
20 Front Street.
You're going to be at Lake Orion?
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. You know where I'm going to be tonight? I'm going to be in Oxford.
Oh.
At Homegrown Brewing Company.
Yeah, they just opened a year ago. They're
awesome.
They're having their anniversary on April 12th. I just met a met a girl from there.
Look at that. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm there. I probably won't get the name right because I don't have my notes in front of me. Oakland County Historical Society, or a name sort of like that. Yeah. I hope they don't – well, they're not listening to this right now. So we're good.
Some society.
They like paid – I'm like a paid speaker.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Love it.
So what do you like – I know. What are you talking
about? So I do – so for the book – although I've never done this at Lily's because Lily's isn't – you're not really set up for me to do that in there. It doesn't work right.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be – it's because you're a restaurant.
It'd be loud.
Right. Yeah, it'd be too loud. So at Homegrown, they have two floors. Have you been in there?
No, mm-hmm. No.
Okay, there's like two floors to it. And so traditional lower level, right? And then they have an upstairs level with another bar and it's private. Oh. And I'll be up there. There'll be a bartender slinging beers for the people. Only people in the room want to listen to like what I'm kicking out. So I do.
Does
I have like a
nervous,
1 hour. Well, now, not that I've now
good
I am,
at it
now that you just asked me that, I'll be doing like a 1 hour Detroit beer history talk that promotes the book and stuff.
Dude, that's awesome. That's awesome.
So I've done like 50 of those. So I do them all over the place.
Wow.
I mean, the books you write are great, honestly, because they do take work. You got to go around to all these places. You got to try some beers. You got to talk to a lot of people. You're writing reviews on all these breweries in Michigan, but it's a damn good book because it kind of gives you a heads up of maybe something you might not like or maybe something you might want to avoid. But yeah, a lot of detail going on in there.
Thanks. And it was like a lot of fun, I don't know, relearning stuff.
Yeah.
Like you guys are a good example. Like I sort of had to relearn your story.
Yeah.
You know, and when I got into this way back in 2009 with the Motor City Brew Tours, it was just like you forget some of that stuff that originally I did all that when I first started. Like I was super anal retentive when I first started. Like I would come to Lily's the week of the tour and I'd write down your draft list.
And yeah.
And prepped.
So that when I came in, I knew all that stuff.
Wow.
Right. And then eventually you do so many tours and you're just like, come in and whatever happens, happens. And
every tour we've done so far, you get
the feel for it, you know?
It flows every single time. Even if I, you know, if Marlon does a tour, you know, 1 month and then I haven't done one in 3 months, I can still just hop in on it. And
it just happens.
You'd have a pretty
That's why this is a good 2-for-1 deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, you'd have a pretty damn good guess, anyways, at the tap list if you went in. You know, you'd be like, well, they always have the, you've been there long enough now to where you're
well, now I should know this. But when I first started, I probably didn't know it that way. And then I was constantly going into new places. Mm-hmm. So it's like I'd be doing that during the week as I'd be prepping to do a tour on the weekend. And that was fun. Talk about liver issues.
Yeah.
So yeah, now we're a staple. Now, I mean, you do the tours in Royal Oak at least once a month.
Yeah, once a month or every other month. You guys are my third stop.
Yes.
And I wouldn't change that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Don't
now
we love being the last stop because we get all the lingerers. We just leave the pitchers out there and –
we have a good time.
Depending on if we're working or not, we're hanging out, finishing the pitchers.
Oh, that's what's fun for me. And as you can figure out, once in a while, I have friends that magically appear at that time.
Yeah.
Right?
Guest speaker.
Yeah, even if they're Ed from River Rouge.
Yeah, he just shows up.
I went and saw him the other day, by the way, because that was the last time I'd seen him when you brought him on the tour that one time. But
he's a great guy.
You weren't there that day when Ed showed up, were
I
missed, you?
Well, I was there for, I think it was a few months
ago.
Oh,
I can't
remember. Us.
Yeah, not that last one.
Yeah.
Not the last one.
Oh, it wasn't the last one. It was a while ago, right?
That was a while ago.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Ed's a good guy. I've known Ed, since he opened. I was pretty early going in there. I could tell it, like, what he was doing. So he was going to be hands-on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
know, he wanted to be part of the scene here.
Ed's the real deal. He's like the American dream of brewing, where he, like, San Diego home brewer, you know.
Oh, totally.
Who just knows this? Well, I'll go down there and ask him a question, you know.
And he was in the movie industry, so he's lived everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Actor, brewer.
Oh, I was just going to say.
Actor, brewer. Well, okay. He was like produce. I don't even know what he always, what side. He
wasn't
an actor.
I was just talking to him about it.
He's got a real colorful background. I had him on the show, like, I don't remember, 3-4 episodes ago. And he was late.
Yeah,
I had to call him.
We were only 5 minutes late.
Oh, you guys are fine.
That was amazing that we did. I'm just saying.
I had to call him and wake his ass up.
Oh,
that's all
good.
I know it was pretty funny when it happened because I'm like, Ed, you got to be the closest guy to the studio
right now.
Right? Like it's down. Like I think don't you live off 11 Mile and the studio's off 11 Mile? Like what the hell?
Even if
you
know? He was at the brewery, we take one street over and cut across
you're
the fourth
there.
Street.
Yeah. Yep,
that's
totally.
That's a 10-minute walk.
I know you
that's,
could totally
we should
do
probably
this.
Go there after.
Yeah, we might have to, honestly. Yeah, we were debating on getting a bagel before this, and we're like, oh, we don't have time. But we got beer. That's got like the same amount of calories and carbs as a bagel. Fine. We're good to go.
Well, definitely with the Doppel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're filling up.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
So I jumped over the... We started talking about the music, and then we didn't.
Yeah.
So tell me more about music.
You're realizing what it's like to talk to Marlon and Carson.
You know, I guess I haven't had to do it. I always get you guys more one-on-one. And when I get both of you, I realize, oh, wow, we really jump around a lot.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, we can be very focused if it's just eye-to-eye. But
both of us together. Oh, look.
Yeah, that's the power of brothers, though, I guess, right?
It is. It's
oh, that's
the age, what's the age difference?
2 years.
Two years. Okay.
I almost wanted to make him guess, but...
Because
the last time
we usually do.
The last time we did a podcast, we were messing with him. So you know us. You know us, so you know our names and which one's which. But like this guy.
I'm not gonna lie. I feel like I screw it up sometimes.
Everyone
does. I don't mean to. I don't know why.
You got a 90% success rate. I've only heard you mess up like a couple times, tops.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah.
I don't mean to.
You got it
down. I
don't
think I've ever heard him mess up.
I know I have.
No.
I know I have.
You got it.
Maybe. Well, anyways.
it doesn't matter.
Our mom.
I still care.
Our mom messes it up, all right?
Oh, your mom messes it up.
She calls me the dog, you know?
Well, that's what moms do, though. My mom would do that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, she decided to name all of her kids and the dog with an O-N at the end of their name. So it's Marlon, Carson, Madison, Emerson, Simon, Tartan.
Oh, my
Maxton.
God.
Like, Maxton is the new dog. Yeah, there's like,
really?
They're all O-N. So I'm like, you did it to yourself.
You did
that's
it.
On her.
Big time.
That's on her.
Now I'm going to be like Gordon, Jason.
Not to mention our last names. Not to mention the last name is Owen, too.
Wow. I never really put that together that way. Whoa, I'm learning all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
I can't write notes fast enough. Then.
Yeah. But the music thing, right? So we just did it again. But that was, we started playing music probably about, well, we played music together forever. But as a band, as a... Like original music band in 2013. So
what's the name of the band?
Remnos. Remnose.
Oh, that's the email.
Yeah,
that's
my email. Yeah.
Oh my god, I didn't know that.
And that's why it says Eric Remnos too when I email you.
Remnos@gmail.com.
I eventually got it all correct, and I can email you both correctly now. I think I got it all figured out. But it took me a while.
Yeah, that was right. You were
somewhere in there. Your
Ramon's.
Dad's just like, I think you got. An email wrong and all that.
You had.
I'm like, well, that's why I copy you so that it's all good.
Yeah.
We have to make it confusing for sure.
But what he's really saying is, please just email them now.
Yeah.
Take me out of that.
He has to deal with that all the time.
Yeah. I'm sure.
He has to deal with it all the time. No matter how many times I tell a company or like what, like Y East always for some reason is like, all right, so I have your email as liliesseafood@aol.com. I'm like, no. Put it as remnos@gmail.com or Morton Tribe, like all of our, you know, our emails.
Right,
now
we're
shouting our emails out. But
have any questions?
But no, they still, every time I call, I'm like, no, I don't think anybody has liliesseafood@aol.com anymore. I think it's gone. I think that's from the 90s.
Who,
it's over.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who's got an AOL account anymore.
I don't get them too often on for registered guests for me anymore.
Yeah, Gmail's the new thing.
Yeah, I mean, I have Gmail for my business. The Motor City Brew Tours account, in theory, is a Gmail account.
Mm-hmm.
I just have it masked so you can't tell that. So it says like info@motorcitybrewtours.com, but it goes into my Gmail.
Yeah.
That's what slick people do.
That's right.
Make it seem more professional.
Just like gather them all in
Gmail's
one email.
Just so much easier,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, Gmail's
so nice.
How it works.
You got
I do have an old Yahoo account. That's how you know that
me
I'm
too.
In my 40s.
Yeah.
Oh, I got it. I got you.
Okay.
I just haven't checked it in a long time.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the case. I think we got to get into some of that Northeast IPA, too.
Let's do it. Let's go for the East Coaster. Yeah.
I'm sure that'll work great with all the Doppelbock juice in there.
Oh, that'll rinse it out. Good and proper right there. Yeah, Marlon is the music aficionado. We've been playing for a long time, but Marlon has been really writing some good music, and we started out as the three piece. So Marlon was writing the songs and playing guitar. I was playing bass, and then we had our friend Vince Bashy playing guitar. Eventually, we wanted to throw some drums on there, so I threw on the drums. We found a bass player, you know, moved a couple members around, and. Still going today.
So how often are you guys trying to play? So you said you're up in Lake Orion tonight?
Lake Orion and I, we usually play, I would say, at least on average, a couple of shows a month.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, and it's usually like right around here, usually Hamtramck, Detroit, Ferndale. Tonight is it's like a little more special. It's for this acoustic guitar project where they make this guitar for the Detroit region, and then every year they pick like seven people. They give them the exact same guitar, and you have 1 week to write a song on it.
Oh, that's cool.
1 week to write and record it. So tonight, we recorded the song, or I recorded the song like 3 months ago, but it got canceled. So now we're doing it tonight, and I got to make sure I remember the song.
You got it.
You just got to make sure you remember it. That's pretty important in the process.
Yeah, I'm just the driver, and I'm going to be the guy in the crowd that
you're the driver
applauding
tonight?
And cheering. Like, if nobody else does, I'm like, yeah, sounded great.
Ooh, we killed off that little holler there.
These are big.
That's a cute little shorty one. I like that.
Oh, man.
From our boys at Koonin.
This is a Koonin.
Koonin Growler, your beer.
Love Koonin.
Yeah, I've been a fan of Koonin for a long time, too.
Koonin is just one of the best. I mean, if I could pick, besides Lily's, three breweries right now in Michigan that are like on my top list.
Okay. Do tell.
That's like if people ask me, like, they're visiting the area, you know, they're like, you got Michigan beer, what would you give me?
Yeah, yeah.
Koonin is just, in my opinion, number one. I was just there Monday night. Monday night is service industry night. So for all you servers out there, Monday night, go to Koonin, half off. But so I was kind of going all around the world, dark, light, like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, you can do that there because they got a very diverse draft list.
Yes, they got everything.
You could jump in mead. You can jump in wine.
Yeah, yeah. I was sipping on a little bit of mead. I did their lager. I did their fest beer, which is still really good. I did their Looney Cooney Pale Ale, which is phenomenal. And then I did their export stout, which was like 8.something%, and it was just like dessert.
Yeah, it's a boozy export stout, isn't it?
I like it though. I was a little nervous, but it was clean as all get out. So Koonin, right up there. As far as Detroit goes, Batch, I just love Batch Brewery. I love their food too,
yeah,
honestly.
But when you think Michigan,
the number one brewery has to go to Black Rocks Brewery in Marquette.
Look at you. Well, that's because last time we were all talking, you guys were up there, New Year's?
Yes. Yeah, we try to make it up there for some New Year's. We've got like a three out of six year New Year's success rate.
Well, it's usually pretty easy. If we book a show up there, we have a lot of friends up there, so we can make enough gas money.
What a cool scene. Well, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, totally justifies it. Because you need to make a decent amount of gas money.
Yeah, it's a nice line. You can go to Knoxville, Tennessee, or you can go to Marquette.
Oh, that's funny. That's so funny. I wouldn't even think of it that way.
It's insane.
You'd be to Pittsburgh way faster.
Yeah, but if you want to go to the best brewery in Michigan, if not possibly the whole country, you want to take that 8-hour drive north to the UP. Yeah. You want to go to that beautiful yellow house that just expanded their tap system.
I genuinely feel like that is my favorite brewery to be inside. That's where we played a show there actually on New Year's Eve. So it was like the best way to bring in the new year.
It's a beautiful location. Old yellow house. Yeah. Old yellow farmhouse.
Oh, I know it well. I've been there many times.
Yeah. It's the best spot. Yeah.
I mean, like, for real, let's talk about Grand Rapids. Like, that as a I don't know why it's even called a cream ale, because it's dry hopped.
Dry hopped cream ale.
But I won't get into the specifics of that whole
thing.
Yeah,
whenever they say that, I'm thinking, this isn't really a cream ale. Although I love that beer.
It's dry hopped, mm-hmm. But
if somebody asks you what the one beer is you're going to drink for the rest of your life.
You know, that's probably the beer. I bought a sixer of that, and so I was up there for the UP Beer Fest last year with a bunch of friends. We Airbnb'd it right downtown.
So much fun.
So we walked to Black Rocks. Yes. I didn't drive the whole time I was there.
No. Yeah. Need.
Walk to the fest, walk to Black Rocks, walk to the other breweries, Ordox.
It's all right
Berlin.
There.
Oh, it was dope.
The very thing. Yeah.
And the weather was good.
Yeah.
So, like, the weather was unseasonably nicer. That's like second weekend of September or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's the best time to go.
So, like, it's south. It was not too cold.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
It was like, I don't know, like upper 60s.
Pants and flannel kind of weather.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Leaves are changing still a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, and people who live there, they know how to operate around that. Me, I don't know. I didn't know how to pack. I wasn't sure how it would shake out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, wow. So, look, we got to Black Rocks on Friday. Fest is on Saturday. We just hung out outside on those tables in that back, like, sort of beer garden area. Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
So much fun, which was way better than sitting inside. It was funny because we get in there and, you know, it's me and, like, two other guys. And we're just excited to be up in Marquette. And, like, two of those dudes had never been to Marquette.
Wow.
Me, I at least been there, but so everyone's excited, right? Yeah. You got that it's Friday of a beer fest weekend
Friday
excitement.
Fever, baby.
Yeah. Now we're in Black Rocks, and we already liked their beer. Look, we already knew we liked their beer. Mm-hmm. A buddy of mine's a brewer there. that was from this area, and his girlfriend was going to school up there. Now they're living up there.
Nice.
And, wait, what's his name?
Yeah, I know. I just said that, and then like his name blanked.
He I didn't ask it because he worked at
Kunin.
Oh, that's my bad.
He worked at Kunin for a while, and then he worked at Clubhouse BFD for a while. Oh my God.
We would probably know him.
Probably.
I'm a horrible person that I can't think of his name.
You got a lot of names coming at you on your day-to-day.
Steve, yeah. We are the worst. I call him Marlon all the time.
Oh, that makes me feel way better. Okay.
We call each other our own names.
It'll come to me like a couple hours later. Like, I'll be doing that beer history talk tonight, and I'm going to blurt his name
John
out.
John Denver.
There was be like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, we're at Black Rocks. We're sitting out there. We grab a beer. And we're sitting outside, and if you're in the back, you can't totally tell how crowded it's getting unless it gets crowded out there. Well, it wasn't too crowded out there. So my buddy's like, oh, I'll go get another round. He starts to walk in there, and we realize, like, there's a line of people, pew, like, way out, and it's just, like, you know, balls deep in there. And I'm just like, whoa, we should have got two beers when we walked in here.
When it gets crazy, it gets crazy.
Because it's tight, because it's a tight space.
Tight quarters and only, like, pretty much one spot to
like,
get a beer.
Like one spot you get in line, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
Yep. So we were just like, oh, that didn't work. Mm-mm. You know, and somehow he struggles back and brings us back another round. We're just like, you know, we would have stayed there longer, but it's just, you know, everyone had the same idea.
That's the tough spot with Black Rocks too, because they are just
that's their space.
They are rolling as far as popularity goes. They're just building and increasing so much.
To me, like, yeah.
They were on draft everywhere in the UP for sure.
To me, they were the Kings. To me, they were the Kings because for like the first like 2 or 3 years that they were distributing through that packaging facility they have now, they were only doing the UP. And you had to come to the UP to get it.
Yep.
And then they would do like Traverse City.
We're going
to
go a little longer on the hour for the Beer Tour Guy show today because we're having a good conversation. So just, I'm sorry, Marlon, continue.
No. And then that was the best is they would, so you'd have to drive. It's like, all right, shit, maybe when we get to Petoskey.
Right. Like, well, there we go.
If we stop on our way up, we can grab a Black Rocks. But now it's
here.
When we saw it at the liquor store, it was like, I remember the first time you saw it, you like bought the whole thing out. And I was like, yeah, I went in that place.
That party store guy's like, dude, sweet.
They do. They love us. They're like, oh, these guys. They'll pretty much escort us over to where the new Black Rocks is.
They know us as the Black Rocks guy. Yeah.
The Black Rocks guy.
Like, we are that into
we are that. I don't go to your liquor store and come out with anything besides a couple sixers of Black Rocks. And that is the honest to God truth.
Well, because now we're spoiled. We got all the seasonals. We get all the, you know.
That's a good liquor store. Yeah, they get their seasonals.
Oh, so they're getting a good variety from
that. Yeah, the second they release it up there at Black Rocks, sometimes
it's usually it's 51K and it's Grand Rabbits.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we were happy to see.
And I'm cool with that, too.
I love them. Yeah. But their seasonals, the fact that their seasonals are coming down here. We have buddies up in Marquette, and I'll be drinking one of the seasonals. I'll take like a picture of it and like Snapchat it or something like that. And my buddies in Marquette are like, we don't even have that up here. They literally canned all that and distributed it downstate. I haven't even had that.
Well, they're probably drinking it a lot faster up there, too.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure once they produce it, it's just bought up.
Down here, it's like us. And there's and
not
there's,
a lot of people down here know
and
too
the,
much.
And
about
the
it.
Other beer connoisseurs, they're like, oh, Black Rocks. But
we might be giving away some secrets.
you might have a hard time.
We should edit that whole thing out.
You want me to edit that out?
Nobody drinks.
Let me
Black
send
Rocks.
That to my tech folks. Yeah. They'll make it right for us.
Don't drink it.
Maybe they'll dub over things for me. I don't even know how that works. I just send files places and shit happens. Yeah. So
you're
just
like, why
don't I
be on that? Best brewery is Shorts Brewing Company.
Atwater Brewing Company. And the award goes to. Yeah, no. There's
that's
no
always, you know, it's funny. You know, you can ask that question, and everybody's got different answers, which shows how super cool our Michigan scene is.
Yeah, it really is.
You know what I mean?
It's thick. That's honestly amazing. I was – another one that I've been really into is we went there on one of Mom's – Mom does these pub crawls out of Lily's.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that yet. Oh, ooh, yeah. Bad on me. Okay. Ooh, yeah. So – your mom's been organizing this for years.
Yes.
Yep.
She does, what, 1 to 2 a year, right?
Yeah, at least the summer ones. Sometimes if the summer one didn't go too badly, then we'll do the one in the fall.
You got a lot of regulars that like to do it. I have customers of mine that have been on tons of these. So it's a bus tour. She does a Traverse City trip. She's got one coming up when? Ooh, I didn't write
it down. May 28th, 29th.
No,
April.
April 28th, 29th.
Oh, that sounds right.
It's coming up.
I'm more of a numbers guy.
Yeah, that's all right.
I can tell you exactly.
You could deal with your mom on that. I should have wrote the date down before I came in here.
Oh, no.
Yeah, if you want to learn more, go to the Facebook page for Lily's Seafood. Lily Seafood RO, I believe, is how that's set up in there. If you type that in, you guys can get it on there to everyone, the six people and my mom that are listening. So, mom, if you're interested, you can get more information on Facebook or the Lily Seafood website. Or I share it out, too, because I always like to present that to folks.
You're going to have to wait till the winter one, though, because we are already sold
out. Oh, that's out. Kick ass. Okay. Well,
we're
sold
out?
Yeah.
I was in a couple weeks ago, and I knew there were still some spots left.
There was
then,
like four tickets left. Wow. But, I mean, every year it kind of gets a little more popular, and it sells
that's
out
awesome.
That
mom,
much
mom
quicker.
Mom can sell them. Mom can sell them. Well, she probably just has to pull up some pictures.
You know why it's one. You know why it's sold out? Because I'm not doing a Traverse City one this year. I've done a Traverse City 2 day a couple times. Your mom and I are always like comparing notes, right? And
that's good.
It's all good, right? We have good conversations. It's not like a competitive thing.
No. Yeah.
It's just a fun thing,
no.
right? Like I realized that I was coming up with something in a similar way to how she was doing it.
Yeah.
And she had been doing that for a lot of years.
Yeah.
So that was fun. It's like, okay, I'm in the right ballpark. Like, you successfully done this. And I don't have a supply to a brewery's beer, but, you know, I can still make it work.
Yep.
So it also means I never get to go on one of those three lilies, which I'd love to do, but I'm always working. April 7th, my tour, which is sold out.
Hey.
I'm doing a day trip bus out to, what am I doing? Dark Horse. I'm also doing, you guys been to One Well Brewing in Kazoo?
No.
Well, it's considered Portage, but that's next to Kalamazoo.
Drank it, but never been there.
Yeah, you guys got to check that out. Next time you're doing the kind of that I-94 corridor drive out to wherever, Chicago, you need to stop off in there. They got a little bit of, they got a food program in there, but their beer program is tight. They really have a good suite of beers. And the guys are like, they look like you.
Yeah.
Like if you saw him, you would think that it's like your other brother you didn't know you had.
Jason? Gordon?
Yeah, maybe. it'd have to be named that way. Yeah. I'm trying to think of the guy's name. Like TJ, I think TJ is one of the owners there. Real cool guy. I'm sure he grew up in that Kazoo Portage area. I was out there doing a beer history talk last February. Real funny. I come in there. It was sponsored by the Kalamazoo Public Library. I'm not making this up.
That's great.
And
that's
so, and they're like, let's do it at One Well Brewing. And so they had this whole series of events they did all week in Kazoo called Overdue Brew Series. So they had like some other stuff. All of it was cool. And then they had me on the bill, and I got to basically talk for an hour and promote the book, right?
Man, that is so cool.
Yeah,
that is
amazing.
They had koozies that I don't even know how they. Oh, I know how it was. West Michigan Beer Tours, which is John Liberty runs that company. He told the library that I published this book on Detroit beer history. So I'm telling you, they reached out to me 6 months ahead of time. It's crazy.
That's wild.
So, and it was funny. And like the email back was, how much would it cost to get you to come out to Kalamazoo and go to a brewery and talk about beer for a night? I'm thinking, okay. A
couple of growlers?
Yeah, totally, right? Like, well, if you bought me a beer and maybe paid for gas, you know? But I didn't want to sound unprofessional, so I'm just like, well, you know, if you could pay for, like, a hotel for the night and something like that, that'd be totally cool. So I don't want to say it, but it was more than that.
Lovely.
And they paid me. Yeah, it was pretty tight. And then my buddy who lives in Battle Creek, that's a good friend and also been a customer on a lot of tours and a volunteer of mine, he comes to hang out with me, right? So he walks in the door with me. And the library people are there, and this TJ, I think that's the owner, one of the owner's name, and I was like, hey, man, hi, how you doing? I'm excited to be in here. And he's like, well, here, I go, this is my friend, this is my friend Chris, and he's my security for the night, right? He goes, well, the two of you can drink free all night.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, really? Cool. My buddy looks at me, kind of smirks, right? I'm like, I was kind of just joking about the security thing, right? So anyway, my point is the owner was real cool and all the beer was really good and we had a really cool crowd in there and like we talked for an hour. So yeah, April 7th, we're doing Dark Horse, we're doing One Mile Brewing, and we're doing the Bell's Production Brewery.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So like, if you've ever been out there in Comstock, like that place is, you know.
No, I've never.
A wet dream of a large production brewery in the Midwest. They'd be, you know, take Lagunitas out of it, they'd be one of the biggest.
Like man-made marble.
Yeah, take that and like put them with, say, what Founders is doing too. You know, you got those are two players in Michigan. Anyway. Cool tour that I'm doing on April 7th. Cool tour your mom's doing the end of April.
Yeah.
If you want to learn more about Lily's, you can go to lilyseafood.com or go to Facebook. They have lots of great updates on here. I want to thank Carson and Marlon for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
We'll share this out to all our loyal followers. Beer Tour Guy Show. Stay tuned next month when we talk to someone about beer. Next to that, thanks for listening and have a nice day.
Woo!
Woo-wee!
Let me get to the mouse. Uh-oh.